I want to deal with verse 16, and it's a difficult verse. There's different views. When you hear a preacher say they spiritualized something, a passage, a verse, a word, it's saying they've taken it out of its just plain standing and kind of build a mystery out of it, a spiritual thing out of it that really, really you can't see there. And so I was just looking at some of the commentaries because I read it, and I'll try to do that over, go and take it with me in my mind and take a verse and just keep going over and over it, meditating on it, thinking about it. And I didn't come up with what both Albert Barnes and Matthew Henry, I learned something. I learned that Matthew Henry didn't write all the Matthew Henry commentary. There's a lot of them. He didn't write the comments on 2 Corinthians. Some kin to Francis back there wrote it. His name was Mayo. And so he wrote the commentary on 2 Corinthians. But I'll deal with what they had to write, and then I'm going to deal with why I disagreed with them and why I believe it was different than that. And it's just the way you look at the verse sometimes. They had some good ideas, and I agree with some of the things they said wholeheartedly. But I seen where it didn't fit completely. And so the thoughts that I had, I'm going to let you I'll deal with that. You take, and you hear a preacher say, keep it in context. And so what it means, that means is keep it in contact with the theme or what all is being said. Keep it attached to it. And so if you look at this chapter, beginning in this chapter, and through the chapter, it's dealing with how a person is looking forward to getting out of this body, this fleshly body. And I'll deal with that in a moment. But it's kind of opening our eyes to what's going to happen to this body. And we're going to be glad that it happens. Doesn't sound like it rings good in our minds when we really love this life. We've kind of preached ourselves and led ourselves and our beliefs to think this is the best. This is the most important. This is where you put your best effort. This is where your first love is. You love this life. And you treasure this life. And you just put a high value to it. It's most important. So you don't think much about the next life. And you don't weigh the one against the other. That's what you'll see done here. You'll see that is what the psalmist speaks about, how that in truth, the Christian longs to have that new body. You heard Earl Hughes sing and you smiled and laughed and you heard old Earl say he's going to get a new body. Well, I can guarantee you this, it's a lot better than the one you got now. And when you realize what this body does to you, how it's affecting you in your relationship with God, you'll be saying what Paul's writing here, and I'll be glad when it's over. I'll be glad when it's done with. I'll be glad when I'm out of this thing because of what it's doing to me, how it affects me. The interpretation that the commentaries give, look at verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. They take this as believing that your salvation, and it does change you. They're saying that your judgment of the fellow man is changed. You don't see people as wicked, vile sinners. You see more as blinded people that need the Lord. And so your eyes, your feelings, your emotions towards them are compassionate and concerned about them. And I agree. That's right. I see that. I have no problem agreeing with them on that. The salvation does change your view. It does change your opinion. But we're speaking of here in this chapter, in the body, out of the body, in this body, in a new body. And so it's speaking of not knowing people in this flesh later on. You see that in the last part of that verse. Now look at the last part and look with me. It says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Now you got to read a verse slow. And little words are very important. Notice it says, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Can you say that? Can you say you knew Christ in the flesh? You can't. Notice he says, we. Okay, who's we? That's the disciples. He speaks of that in the plural all the way through. Look at verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. And we know, and on down, and we have, and on and on and on. He continues with this word that recognizes he's speaking of more than himself. And this is what the disciples seen of Christ in the flesh. And they don't see him anymore in the flesh. Read the verse. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Not after the flesh. You see, when Christ rose from the dead, he had a different body. He didn't have the same body. He had a body, but it wasn't the same body. The body he had could go through walls, could disappear and appear. He had a body that wasn't. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians 15. This is important, these truths, that you get them down in your mind. These people that say, I went to heaven and came back. No, no, no. No, no, no. Look at verse number 42, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It's not the same. It is sown in dishonor. it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, that's Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is earthly, such as are they also are earthly. Probably that would, I should get back and really dig in that, how we are earthly, that needs to be broken loose from us. And as is the heavenly, such as though they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, oh Lord help us, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, and this you need to get clear. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. No way. You don't go to heaven with flesh and blood. You're going to go with a different body. You're resurrected a new body. You're transformed into a new body. Flesh and blood. Jesus had a body, a likeness of a body, but it didn't have flesh and blood such as we have. It was a different, it was a heavenly body. So I'm saying to you, knowing no more him in the flesh, you're never going to see him again in the flesh. He's not in heaven in the flesh and blood. And so you're not going to see him that way. You're going to see him in this new body that he has. He was raised with a heavenly body. So there's a difference. It's one of the reasons that I can't go along with these guys when they say, then in verse number 16 back there in 2 Corinthians, that henceforth know we no man after the flesh. And then a comparison is made in Jesus Christ. You don't know anybody after they're dead. You don't know them if they're in heaven or hell. You don't know. Am I telling you the truth?
Yes.
You don't know. We say we do, and we have faith that they are there. Well, I believe so-and-so. I believe so-and-so went to heaven. I believe my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife went to heaven. Wonderful. You can't see that. You can see it with faith. But you can't see flesh and blood anymore. After they're gone, after they're dead. After Jesus died, rose again, no more in the flesh. He had a heavenly body. So it is that each one of us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Death means that our spirit, our body goes to the grave, but Ecclesiastes says our spirit goes to the God that gave it. Did you ever read that in the Bible? Our spirit goes. Different. Not flesh. Not blood, not flesh and blood, it don't go. And so I wouldn't argue with them. I say what their thoughts are good, I think, and I can see their reasoning. But I don't see that in this chapter. Let's look at it. I've about lost my time. chapter 5, and we'll go just briefly through it, because I want to just show this thing, the difference it's making. Chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," if it was taken away, notice he says, "We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We're going to do it in a different one. One that is fit for heaven, made for heaven. It is heavenly. Now, if I don't go anymore, let me just make this statement to you. The reason heaven doesn't sound like a wonderful place to you is because you see it in the flesh. You're trying to make flesh and blood fit into heaven, and it won't work. It won't be that way. It'll never be that way. You're going to get a heavenly body that loves heavenly. It's heavenly. It's heavenly. It's patterned after heaven, and it'll love heaven. It'll enjoy heaven. It won't be just sitting around and saying, "Praise the Lord, glory to God." So that's time for us to bow and worship the Lord. This fleshly body thinks of one thing, itself. And so it doesn't value heaven. Now, I know we all think we're just, when we all get to heaven, what a day we're rejoicing that'll be, amen. But in reality, if you don't think, if you don't believe that we value this life, just let that old ticker begin to skip a couple beats. Just allow some of those things come to your mind. I'm saying to you, and I don't even know how to preach this in the way I ought to. But we love this world to some extent. We love this life. We enjoy this life to some extent. And salvation ought to break us loose from that attachment. It ought to. From such a love for this life and a love for this world to where we'd love for Jesus to come. We'd love to see him. We'd love to be in an eternal body and be with him. Verse 1, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal to heavens." Verse 2, look at your Bible. "For in this we groan, we pray inaudibly with grief and sighing." Are you looking at your Bible? "Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Oh, come on, Paul. You mean I'm sighing because I'm in this body and I'm groaning and praying? Did you ever hear, the glasses? Brother and Sister Glass. Brother Hardman's, they stop when they go by and they stop and see him for a while. And he told me, he says, they're sitting there, hardly can do nothing. They're just physical wreck, you might say. And the conversation goes like this. "I don't know why we're here. I don't know why he don't take us home. I don't know what we can't go, we can't do. I wish he'd take us home. I'm saying to you, when your affections are on things above, the old songwriter's got it right. The things of this earth will do what? Grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what the songwriter wrote. Here he's saying, Paul says, we groan. He said, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. The Bible speaks of being putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's clothing yourself with his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, his kindness. Clothe yourself. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again, I've got verses here I'm going to read. I'll probably never get to it. But look down a little bit farther. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Do you see that again? Being burdened. Not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality, death, might be swallowed up of life, eternal life. Preacher, why would person, let me just sum it up just a few minutes. Why in the world would a person want to leave this world and rather go to heaven? Why? If you ever get close to God, you realize the biggest hindrance in your life from enjoying his presence, getting close to him, is this body. This body is one of the greatest hindrances of you fellowshipping with God. It's always desiring things of this world. It's not necessarily the body. It's the appetites we've built with this body that cause us to desire this world and the things of this world more than the things of God. We don't recognize it, that these appetites, these pleasures of this world, the things of this world are what hinder us from being close, hinder us from growing, hinder us from receiving his blessings, hinder us from sensing his presence. You know well. Well, let me ask you this question. Why did Jesus tell him, if your eye offends you, the word offend means to trip you up. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. If your right hand offend you, cut it off. If it trips you up, keeps you from being close to him, hinders your walk with God. The wise man said, if you have an appetite for the king's dainties, for his special entree that he has of food, he says, you can't control it. He says, put a knife to your throat. You all read that? You all read that? That's your body, the appetites of your body, that's saying, that's desiring things you don't need, desiring things that turn you astray, desiring to keep you from being close to God. What hinders your prayer life?
Yes, sir.
What hinders your reading the Bible? What hinders you memorizing the Bible?
Amen.
It's these distractions from the passions and the lusts and the desires of the flesh. Every man is led away of his own lust. Every man is led away of his own lust, James said. You wonder why, and I know we don't believe it. I'm just saying that just because I can see the way we treat it. We don't pay no mind to it. That's why I'm saying we don't believe it. Paul, I don't know. I can see no fault in you. Paul, he was a great preacher and a great evangelist and a great missionary and gave your life, just sold out to God. Why in the world, Paul, would you buffet your body daily lest you become a castaway? Why would you do that? Does that body bother you that much, Paul? Saint Paul, does that body bother you that much that you buffet that body daily? It's like giving it a black eye. Why you got to do that? Because it hinders. It gets in the way. It doesn't like authority. It doesn't like the word of God. It wants to do its own thing.
Yes.
Would you tell me, could you tell me what hinders you from having a closer walk with God? From being more dedicated, consecrated, sold out. The flesh. Not actually this body, it's the desires that's been built in it, the appetites. The body is merely a house. It's the sensual appetites we build that causes us to love this world more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesus, I got something against you. You don't love me like you used to. And he isn't going to let them get by with that. You see, we say that, left their first love. He's warning them what he's going to do. Read it again. All the churches of Asia, he tells them their fault and gives them the warning. This is what I'm going to do. You're reading people here that groan, and they're actually willing, verse number 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Read verse 8. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You sing what I'm preaching. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Heaven's laid out beyond the blue. You sing it. There's other songs that deals with it too. But we somehow get attached to this world. This life, the enjoyment of this life, good, wonderful. Enjoy your wife, enjoy your husband. The Bible tells you to do that. And enjoy your children. But at the same time, make it look like you hate him in comparison to how much you love me. Is that what he said? Make it look like you hate him in comparison to how much you love me. You want to be with me. You want to be close to me. You don't want to have anything in your life that offends him. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm saying to you, when we look at how much we battle this thing, I think Paul wrote in Galatians, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and tells you have a real problem doing what you want to do, what you ought to do, just because of that battle constantly raging. That's why Jesus said, if you've heard me say this for the last 3 or 4 weeks, if you save your life, you lose it. Jesus said, if you won't deny yourself, your flesh, if you won't deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, you can't be following me. Preacher, that's awful negative. Why don't you just build us up? It's too late for that now. We're close. No time for dilly-dallying and patting people on the back and comfort them when they know as well as I know that there's not a one in here. There's not a one of us in here as close to God as we ought to be. And if you try to nail it down, figure out exactly what it is. It's that old man inside. I want my way. You're not going to tell me how to live. That old flesh is so rebellious against God. It so hates the law of God. It does. Hates holiness. Holiness is no fun. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ, dying to self, suffering for the cause of Christ is no fun. And this world is designed for one thing. Fun. It's in our minds, in our lives, in our habits. You got to have fun. You got to have play in this world. Well, I'm not a real good Bible student, but I haven't found one time in there that Jesus played, took off time to play. Not one time. Preacher, I have no problem. I have no problem. You think I don't want you to go extreme with those thoughts. I don't have no problem. You join your family and get out in the yard with a kickball. I have no problem with that. I'm talking about in general our whole life. Our life as a whole. Does it show that we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ first? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is that what it says? Yes. Is that what it says? Can I ask you, would you say all of us put Christ first? We wake up thinking about ourselves. We go to bed thinking about ourselves. I think one of the most precious things God can do for you in these days is wake you up with a song praising Him.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
He's good to us. He loves us. I don't know why. I do not know why or understand why He's so merciful. I don't understand that. You fail Him and fail Him. You promise and you fail Him. You promise and you fail Him and you fail Him and you fail Him and you fail Him. Go off, bow your head and pour your heart out. What a rat. What a low-down snake. What a wicked devil I've been. Oh, God, I got no right even praying to you. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us get all our priorities right in line. Have Him first place in your life, first thought, first desire. First one to please Him. What about me? What about me? Well, I think back there when you bowed and surrendered your W-I-L-L to Him, that all that other stuff is just, stuff that has no real great value to it. The only value there is the presence, the blessings, the goodness of God to us. In this wicked, vile world that hates our God. Yes. Help us to be strong. Harry, dismiss the word.
Lord God, I love your word. Lord God, I love to see you and understand, Lord, your precious word, Lord, we're here. Dear God, Lord, we thank you for the preaching of the word, God. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.